It's so great to be here once again. And before I even go into what the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you, there are two things I need to share. I don't want to forget them. One is that, Lord willing, you won't see me next month, first Sunday. And the reason for that is that my wife and I are going to be taking a short trip to Belize. It's about a month. So please be in prayer for us as we're there. And I'm going to be thinking about you guys as I'm there in the meetings. The other thing is I have a request. I know that this church always recognizes those who have birthdays. And since I won't be here in June, for you to recognize me, my birthday is on the 21st of this month. My wife's birthday is on the 9th. So I hope you will recognize us like this month while I'm still here, all right? That's only my request, all right? That said, if you have the book before you or your tablet or whatever you use to access the Word of God, I ask you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke. Mark, Luke and chapter 15. Yes, Luke and chapter 15. And I'm going to enlist the help of my sister, First Lady, to share with us the first 15 verses. Sorry, not the first 15 verses, but verses 11 through 24 of Luke. Chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. If you are there, please say amen.
Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Praise the name of the Lord.
May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask now that your Holy Spirit, who can take us in so many directions because of this passage, we ask that he will fill us and use us, and that as the message goes forth, it will be fitting for someone or all of us, and that we will get from it a blessing. We ask this, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Chapter 15 of Luke gives three parables concerning the joy over repentance. The joy over repentance. It is important that we understand what repentance is. Repentance is making a 180-degree turn, not 360, because you'll come right back to where you started. But it's going in the opposite direction. And the repentance in the scripture is a turning away from that which I am used to, and I'm turning towards Him who is able to give me new life, new direction. Many times in looking at these three parables, the first one being that of the lost sheep, we read that in the parable of the lost sheep, that this shepherd has 100 sheep and they go out to graze, and then when he's getting ready to gather them up, one is missing. And the parable goes on to explain that when he finds that one of his sheep is missing, he leaves the 99 at home and he goes back out and he searches and he searches and he searches till he finds that one. The message there for me is that he will never leave any behind. He will never leave any behind. In the next parable, it's about a lady who has some coins. And she has these coins, and all of a sudden, you know, she's so proud of her coins, she takes them out, she counts them, she makes sure they're all there. You know, she wraps them and put them in a little bag. When I was 11 years old, I had a little bag, and every time somebody give me a nickel or a quarter, I'll drop it in that bag. And every now and then, I'll take them out, and I'll count them. And I know I have $2.65, and then the next time, I have a little bit more. And if I realized that there was a nickel short when I counted, I recounted, because I wanted to make sure I had my $2.65 up in there. Well, this lady did the same thing, and she lost one of these coins. And what she did was she had to find her coin. And if it meant sweeping the house three times, whatever it took, she searched for that coin. And once she found that coin, she rejoiced. She called her neighbors. She said, "Listen, I had lost my coin, and now I've found it. Rejoice with me. Have fun with me." But then we come to the third of the parables of which we speak. And we find out that this is the case of actually two sons and a father. Time will not permit us to go into the second son. That's another message. But in the case of the first son, this first son, he was the younger of the two. And he got to the point where he decided, you know, I'm old enough to go do my own thing. I want to go out there because I'm looking at things that are happening out there that I think I can enjoy. And my dad is just too strict for me. You know, my dad is warning me about these things, and he's saying, "Son, you want to be stay at home and do the right things. You know, you need to go to the meetings with me. You need to go to temple," and so on. And this boy was unhappy. He said, "Man, I think that I should be doing some other things." This story, too, this parable, is also about two gods. And we'll see if we can bring that in. It's about two gods. And so he goes to his father, and he says to his father, he said, "Dad, you know what? It's okay being at home, but I want to go out there and enjoy life." I don't know if any of you have been in that situation. Maybe not with your dad, because maybe your dad was absent. But maybe it was with mom, and said, "Mom, I want to go out there, and I want to be my own man." I want to be my own woman. I want to do my own thing. And this young man goes to his dad and he says, I want to do my own thing. So dad, I tell you what, why don't you give me my share of the wealth? And the dad must have been wealthy. He said, why don't you give me my share and I'll just leave home. You know, I'll go there. And so now, if it was a dad like me, we would have had a situation, right? Because I was like, boy, you're not going to go out there and blow my money like that, you know? But he said, give me what's mine. And so his dad says, okay. And his dad gives him his share. And the scripture says that he goes out and he gets with his buddies, his friends, and he literally blows what he has. Now, prior to blowing it all, he has all kinds of friends. And I had a real situation some years back. Real situation. This really happened. Where a young man had come into several $1,000. Two brothers. And this one said, look, I got money now. I got money to burn. You know what was the first thing he did? He threw a party for his whole block. He had a block party. And before you knew it, all his money was gone. And so were all his friends. They were gone. And this young man went out and the Bible says he spent that which the father had given him on righteous living and just being out there being wasteful. And then all of a sudden, a famine came down. All his buddies disappeared. They were gone. His money was gone. As a matter of fact, he was starving. He was hungry. I say to you, beloved, let's make a parallel here. Is it possible that we can find ourselves where we are starving for the things of God? Because many times we find ourselves in that situation where God has been pleading with us. He's been calling us. And we're like, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm too young for that. Or I have things to do. Or you're going to cramp my style. And so this famine comes up. And this young man finds himself so hungry that he decides he's going to get himself a job. What job? Well, he finds a man who raises pigs. And the man says, I'm prepared to give you a job. You're going to have to go attend to these pigs. Well, that in itself was almost a curse because being a Jewish boy, they had nothing to do with swines. But he was hungry. He was in need. And so he took the job and he went in to that pigsty. And the scripture says he became so hungry, so needy, that he decided to chomp down on some of the pig food, all the husk that is there. Think about it for a minute. How many times have we seen men and women in the streets of Los Angeles, California, and maybe we just shake our head in a negative way, because we see what righteous living has done to them. And then think about your own self and ask yourself, could I be living a righteous life, but just at a different level? I might not be the guy down there yet, but right now I'm still living up here, but I am also living righteously, wastefully. I'm wasting my life away. And so this young man is there in this pigsty, and he's just, you see what happened is talking about the two fathers. The father that he left at home loved him, cared for him, provided for him. The father that he met in that pigsty was the one who who started out saying, come on over here. You got life to live. There's much for you to do. And as he got there and he got into this righteous living, at a certain point, that father left him because he's the father of lies. He's the deceiver. And he had deceived him into thinking that life on the other side was much better than the life that he had at home. Beloved, beware of the enemy of your soul. The one who can make it look so great on the other side when we're doing the things we're doing, when we think nobody is looking, when we think that there's no challenge, and we say, hey, I can get away with this. You know, the young man or the young woman who meets a friend on campus, let's say, and they start a conversation, and one says to the other, you know, I have a paper to write, and I'm so tired, I can't handle it. And the friend says, oh, I can help you. Take one of these. It'll keep you awake. It'll keep you strong. And before you know it, that young person pops that pill and is hooked for life. It is that man who is on the job, and all of a sudden a friend of him comes and makes a proposition to him and says, listen, my friend, you are making $12 an hour, but I can show you how, because of where you are, you can make 10 times that. All you have to do is at such and such a time, you go off and you leave your post. And we will come in and we will load up a pickup truck with some of the stuff. You don't know because you weren't there. You had gone to the restroom or something. And we'll meet you outside and we will give you your share. And it sounds so good and so easy, only to find out that in the end, you're caught and they put on some silver bracelets on your wrists. Yes, beloved, the father of lies has a way to trap us, to engage us, and we need to be careful. By the way, the father of lies seeks more to break us out from the hand of the Savior than even those that he already has controlled out there. I want you to remember that. Because he's after us. The scripture says he goes after us like a roaring lion. He goes after us. He seeks us out to devour us. So we need to be always on our guard. So back to this young son. He's in the pigsty. He realized, how much lower can I go? I can't go any lower. He says, why am I doing this? And all of a sudden, the Spirit speaks to him. Hey, you got a daddy at home. And he says, you know what? I'm thinking about my father at home. My father has servants with enough food on the table to eat, enough bread to share, and here I am eating pig food. And so he says, this is what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to go back to dad, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I am not worthy to be your son. Make me one of your hired servants. Notice, in the beginning, what did he say? Give me what's mine. Give it to me. It's mine. Give it to me so that I can go out and live how I please. But when he finds himself in the pigsty, he says, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to say to dad, make me. You see the humility? You see the repentance? Dad, I am not worthy to be your child. Make me one of your hired servants. And so he starts the journey back home. He starts the journey back home, and as he starts the journey back home, he's walking up or down that road. I don't know whether it is north or south, east or west, but he's walking along that road. And what he did not know was that his father had always been looking down that road with the hope that one day his son would come back. The Father loved us so that he gave his only begotten Son. And he says that he died to buy us back from the slave markets of sin unto himself. That is why Jesus went to the cross. And he's saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you weary today? Are you tired today? Whatever it takes, the Savior has said, come on to me. Come back. Doesn't matter how far you are, just come on back. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And so this young man is walking down the road. Now, in years gone by, I lived in the country of Belize, and I lived in, my brother called it out, in Stan Creek at the time, and I lived 3.5 miles from the town. And I used to walk to school. And if I did something that I knew I was going to get in trouble with, I'd start walking home, and it was the longest 3.5 miles. Because I knew when I got home, the coconut broom was waiting for me. But I walked. And at some point, I did get home. You know the amazing thing? Many a times when I think I would get the whipping, I didn't. So this young man is heading home. And he's coming along the road. And he's rehearsing in his mind what he's going to say to his pops. He's rehearsing, Dad, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. I just make me a hired servant. I'll work for you. I know that if I do that, I have 3 square meals to get, and I'll be okay. I don't have to live anymore like I've been living back in that foreign country, in that pigsty. Just give me a break, and I'll show you how much I appreciate what you do for me. And as he's heading down that road, his father is looking. And I believe that before his father could even really recognize him, in the gloom, he sees that a shadowy figure coming. And he's thinking, wait a minute. That looks like my boy. He walks like him. Look at him. He's coming, but he's clothed in rags. And look at his hair. He hasn't had a haircut for a long time. He has the big old locks down there. And he's coming. And as he's getting closer and closer, the father begins to recognize his son. Probably a little hunched over because he's so hungry and he's coming. His dad can't wait for him to come all the way. So what dad does is dad rushes out the house. And he goes down the road and he meets him and he hugs him. And the son has this rehearsed speech that he's going to give his dad. And dad, I am not worth. Come on. He hugs him, he kisses him, and he calls the servants and he says, come on out here. He says, bring the best coat you got, put it on him. Put on thy signet ring on him, wash him, give him a bath, put the best perfume on him, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party today. The son, the father that hears nothing that the son has to say. All he knows is what he says. This is my son who was lost and is now found, who was dead and is now alive. Beloved, the message that Father God has for us is that we who are dead can be made alive in Christ Jesus, because Jesus died to set us free. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood of Jesus. Beloved, that is the story of repentance and redemption. We cannot save ourselves, but when we repent of our sins, Father God will set us free because of the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so a party is given. It says, the book says, they made merry. There was rejoicing. And there's a verse in Scripture that says that there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who comes to the Lord. Imagine that whenever one accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, there is a party in heaven over him or her. You're here today. Are you one of the ones who are still out there as a lost son or daughter? Today could make the difference. Today could change your life for eternity. Whereas you could say, once I was lost, but now I am found. Christ Jesus has set me free. It was a little bit more than 50 years ago, I think 54 to be exact, that I, Herbert Gentle, was peering through a fence in Belize City at a game of volleyball being played. I didn't know what the game was at the time, but it looked kind of fun. And somebody spotted me from inside the yard and said to me, would you like to come in and play? And I said, I don't know how. And they said, come in, nobody here really know how, we'll show you. And so I went inside and they started teaching me the rudiments of the game. And I got so caught up in that game, I was excited about playing the game. And then in the middle of the game, they stopped the game. And a young man opened the Bible and told me that Jesus loves me and that he died for my sin. And said to me, if you will accept him as your Savior, it will be the best decision you have ever made. And for some reason, I didn't doubt him. He seemed so sincere. Some 54 years later, I praise God for that night that I was invited to come in and learn how to play volleyball. Is it any wonder it's still my favorite sport? It is because of a game of volleyball that I came to meet and to know the Savior. I don't know what will move you if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as Savior. But I tell you one thing, I know who will move you. The Holy Spirit will. All you got to do is to see yourself as this young man who was without hope, hungry, starving, and then came to his senses. And his father loved him so that he killed the fatted calf and had a party for him. Why don't you make sure that there's a party in heaven over you if you're here today and you don't know the Lord? And if you do know the Lord, hey, it's a great time of rejoicing. And if there's one here who comes to know the Lord today, I promise you this, that there will be rejoicing up in this place today. So may God bless you, and may he cause his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. May he also be worshipped because he's worthy of our praise and our worship. I'll pass the rest of the meeting over to Pastor Pascasio, who will close us out.